Good morning, all you beautiful people. Everybody had a great week? And they just got it better when you seen me, right? I know. I can't help it. It's a natural gift. It's a natural gift that I have. I want to talk to you for a few moments about, I want to ask you a question. Do you dare? Do you dare? Some people dared to go out on a boat with me yesterday. And tube. They all made it back. Some of them are hurting, including me. But do you dare? Do you dare to live with the status quo? Do you dare to be more than what people think you can be? Do you dare to be more than what you think you can be? Do you dare to be everything that God has called you to be? Do you realize God has not called you to be sick? He has not called you to be broke, busted, and disgusted. And are you willing to push through the crowd, ignore all the haters, and achieve everything that God has for us? I posted a thing on the church Facebook page, and I talked about dreamers. And unfortunately, one of the bad things that go as we go through life, not maybe a bad thing too much, but science has proven as we get older, we start to use only one side of our brain, and it's the cognitive side of our brain. It's the brain that reasons and rationale everything. Because we don't want to make mistakes. The problem with using only that one side of the brain is we don't dream. How many of you have ever been around some young children? And they got some big dreams out there. They got some big dreams. Whatever happens to those dreams, life is what happens to those dreams. People tell them that they ain't good enough. They ain't smart enough. They don't look right. They don't talk right. They maybe try and they fail. And they're afraid to do it again. So they just live life in the status quo. You know, they grow up. They get through high school. Maybe even through college. And they really think they're achieved something because they've made it this far. They get married, they have kids, they work their job, they retire, and they die. That's what we're told life should be. But I want us to dare to be more than just that. And you know what? I can't tell you that every time that I tried to be more, that it worked. Because it hasn't. Tried out my own business. I did okay. I didn't do what I thought I was going to do. I went and did what everybody told me I should do is go work the 9-to-5. And I did it. And for a while, I was okay with that. But then something inside of me just wasn't working with it. Because I realized I wanted to do something more than just be a cable guy. I didn't want my epitaph to read at the end of my life, he worked 40 years at Maslin Cable TV and retired. He had a wife and two children, and then he died. I want my epitaph to read, he changed lives. He saw something in people when people didn't see it in themselves. That's what I want. You know, we can't control the beginning date. And outside of suicide, we can't control the date of we die. But there's a dash on your headstone. That dash we can control. That dash is up to us. What that dash says is up to you and me. It's not up to your boss. It's not up to your parents, your grandparents, your siblings, or your friends. The dash is up to you. It's a decision that you have to make. If you would, go with me to your Bibles, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And it says this, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, all she had to do was hear about him. She came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I could just touch his garments, I would get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him that the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith. If you got your Bibles open, underline that part. Your faith. Not mine. Jesus looked at her and said, your faith, not my faith in myself, but your faith in me, has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, there are many people here today and in this community of ours that are bleeding to death. And there's only one hope. There's only one answer for them, and it's touching Jesus. And church, let us become once again a church that is touching people, touching Jesus. And I've said that this woman not only has an issue of blood, you see, today we can have our place, ourselves in the place of this woman, because all the issues that she had is the issue that we have. And some of these, I want to go through them real quick today. First thing she had was a physical issue. It was the issue of blood was a physical issue. For 12 years, this woman was sick. Every day, every hour, every second, she was aware of her physical condition. And we as men, I have no idea what this condition would be like. Nor do I want to know what this condition would be like, but some of you women can understand. And maybe you're sitting here today also with some sort of physical condition. Maybe it's also for more than a year now that you've been sick. And the worst part is that the Bible says that this woman's condition grew worse and worse every day. Just imagine for a second, if you would, being sick every day, every minute, every hour, every time you go to bed and you get up hoping for a new day, you are still sick and you're getting worse. Your condition is getting worse and worse. Imagine the feeling of hopelessness and desperation. I believe this woman was at a point where she was ready to give up. She was ready just to sit and die. Not even all the physicians could help her. And she was at a point of no return. And some of you here today may be feeling the same way. For weeks, months, or maybe even years, you've been sick and you've had this condition. But I have good news for you today. as the old song says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. That's all it takes. It's just one touch. It's not a touch from me. It's not a touch from the pastor. It's not a touch from one of the deacons. It's a touch from Jesus. It's all that really matters. But see, you have to be strong enough in your faith to be willing to touch him. She had a crowd full of people kicking her as she crawled her way to Jesus. Now me, if I got people kicking me, stomping me, kicking my hands, I'm going to get up fighting. But that's not what this woman did. She had to completely ignore the crowd. She had to completely ignore her instincts to fight the flesh. See, a lot of times the reason why we can't get through our physical condition is because we're fighting our own flesh. We're holding on to that unforgiveness. Where we don't want to forgive somebody because they were wrong and we were right. And I've told people this different times. Congratulations, you get to go to hell being right. Well, I have the right to be mad. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have the right to be mad. You have the right to never forgive them. You have the right to fight back. Congratulations, you get to go to hell, right? Because you know what? Jesus died for you and gave you a gift of his forgiveness when you did not deserve it. This week I was watching the news and they were talking about a gentleman who, his wife was raped and murdered in front of him. His daughters were murdered in front of him. And here's what this man said. They said, how have you gotten through this? Have you forgiven him? He says, I'll never forgive him. And you know what? I can't say that I could. I can't say that I could either. But the first thing that came to my mind is because of one day of violence, one man could spend eternity in hell. A couple years ago, there was a big murder case that was in Canton where a man killed his girlfriend who was pregnant. And on his sentencing day, the mother of this girl got up and she looked at the man who murdered her daughter and grandbaby and said, I forgive you. And I thought to myself, God, I hope I have enough of you that I can do that. Because that's what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means to invite the one who murdered your child to the dinner table. Because, see, we all hung Jesus on that cross that day. And the Heavenly Father has invited each and every one of his children to a table, to dine. One day. That's what forgiveness is. So the first thing that this woman had to do is she had to ignore everybody who was keeping her from her miracle. She had to ignore them. Back in those days, she had to cry the whole time, unclean, because of her condition. And people, I promise you, are mocking her, telling her to go away. But she had to make a decision. I can either listen to them and go home and die, or I can get my miracle. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 12 years. That sounds like a long time for us. That's only a second to God. Tenths of a second. Some of you might be waiting for a miracle right now. The doctors may be saying you're down to days. The bill collectors might be saying you're down to days or we're taking you to court. But I promise you this. God has always, always showed up on time. Even whenever it seems like he's late, he has always been right on time. Moving on. Number two is a financial issue. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. She had a financial issue. Imagine this for a moment. Paying doctor bills for 12 years. Some of you might know what that's like. 12 years. And you all think our health care system's bad? You should read about theirs. I was watching a documentary one time, and they were talking about some of the practices that they did. You know, it's not modern medicine. So if you were sick with a cold, you know how they got rid of the cold? They cut you.
Yeah. Took a knife and they cut you.
Does that make any sense? Now pay it. Now you got to pay for that crap. 12 years. She must have been pretty wealthy to be able to pay for something like that for 12 years. She's down to nothing now. See, maybe that's what it might take, is to be down to nothing. When all hope is gone, when we can no longer rely on man, we can no longer rely on the doctors. We can no longer rely on the pills. We can no longer rely on the medicine. Experimental treatments. When all hope is gone, Jesus is right there waiting. It might be your son, it might be your daughter that all hope is gone for. The world has cast them aside. They're living underneath a bridge somewhere, I don't know. Because their addictions have put them in such a deep financial problem, they can't get out of it. My wife takes care of these people every day. People who have come from good backgrounds, good moms and dads, are now addicted to heroin. She had a young girl come in, 21 years old. who was addicted to heroin, and her bond was set for a couple $100,000 because of the other charges that she had. And the family was so well-to-do, they were able to take care of the bond. And she's addicted to heroin. See, to us, it doesn't make sense. These issues, they don't have a background. They'll go anywhere. Financial problems can happen to the poorest of people, to the wealthiest of people. There's always somebody out there that's willing to hurt somebody else and take everything from somebody. A number of years ago, some of you might remember the Enron scandal. All these people who were wealthy and had all kinds of money suddenly were broke. See, some of us think that I'm always going to be middle class. You know what? If I am, oh well, I don't care. But you know what? It's never going to stop me from striving to be better. Some of us here this morning might think, I'm never even going to make middle class. Why do we want to put up with that kind of thinking? Why can't we be better than that? We don't have to be broke, busted, and disgusted. He came here for a reason. It was more than just your salvation that he came here. He wants you to be more than broke. I'm going to be honest with you. Some might say, oh, he's preaching prosperity. Well, if I am, okay. God wants you to prosper. Is there anything wrong with that? You know, I personally think, just me, I could be wrong. I doubt it. My wife tells me I'm wrong all the time. I think she's wrong. But this could be me. I honestly don't think God ever called any of his people to be broke. I don't think God ever wanted or intended for his people to be scraping pennies together. I think God has called his people to prosper and to be in front of the line. That's just me. I could be wrong. There was one time back in 1988 when I was wrong. That's why I said it. I don't know about you here this morning, but I could take a financial breakthrough. All the treasures of this earth belong to God. And I'm an heir. I'm a child of Dwayne Wilbur. That means nothing in this world. I mean nothing. The only thing that's going to happen whenever my old man goes is there's going to be bills waiting for me. It means nothing in the world that I'm Dwayne Wilbur's son. But I'm also a child of the King of Kings who owns it all. And every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy, the passion, the power, the ability to call on God to treat us far better than we would ever deserve. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He became poor so we could become rich. Number three, a family and friends issue. According to the Bible in Leviticus 15:19, a woman with an issue of blood was regarded as unclean, and anything she touched was unclean. And for 12 years, she was regarded as an outcast. She knew loneliness. She knew how it feels to be cast out of the community. She knows how it feels to be ignored by people. I can't imagine this, but for 12 years, if she was married, she could not even touch her husband. She could not touch her children. She was not even allowed to walk in the streets where there was people. She was not allowed to sit on anything. And nobody dared to come and visit her. She was literally all alone. How many of us can relate to this? In fact, the law decreed that if she was caught in public, they even had a right to kill her. Number four, there was a faith issue. Lastly, she had a faith problem. How many of us today realize that after 12 years, her faith was probably pretty low? With each passing year and month and weeks and days, she grew worse, and her level of faith smaller. God is only looking for faith as pure as a mustard seed. Now, we kind of have this backwards. We think, in the Bible it says size. But that word size means purity. Okay? If you go and you take a tomato plant and you put it in the same hole, take the tomato seed and you put it in the same hole with a jalapeno seed, you know what you get? A hot mater. You do. You sure do. It's a mistake you only make once. Just saying. You only make that mistake one time. But if you go and you put a mustard seed in the same hole as that jalapeno seed, you know what you get? A mustard. A mustard plant. See, it doesn't cross-pollinate. It's pure. That's all it takes is pure faith. In other words, whenever you call on God, you know in your knower. When everything else says it's impossible, you know in your hardest of hearts, way deep down inside, that God can do it. I dare you this morning to challenge God. I dare you to put him to the test. And believe wholeheartedly, with the purest of motives, that God can heal your sickness, that God can heal your disease, that God can heal your finances, that God can save your loved ones, that God can fix every problem, that God can fix every situation in your life. Try him. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Heaven? Okay. Try. She was at the end of her rope. She was desperate. She had nothing to lose. What she could have lost, she already did. She could not lose her self-esteem anymore because she had no self-esteem. She could not lose her dignity anymore because she already lost her dignity. All that she could lose was her life, and she was prepared to sacrifice it. What are you holding on to here this morning that you think is yours? What are you holding on to this morning that you believe is yours? Because that one thing might be the thing that's standing in the way of your miracle. She had nothing holding on to her anymore. It wasn't her status, because she had no status no more. Are you afraid of what people might think of you? See, this woman, she didn't care what people thought of her anymore. People done turned her down. Rejected her. She didn't care. What did she have to lose? Her money? Money was gone. What are you willing to give up this morning for your miracle? What are you willing to lose? This woman had nothing left. And here this morning, let me tell you something. You're never going to be able to get your miracle whenever you're holding on to something that you believe it's your right to have. If it's your right to have, you're never going to get your miracle. You're never going to get your breakthrough because it's your right. It's my right to feel this way. You know what? It is. You have to be willing to get rid of those things that you believe it's your right to have. Are you willing to get rid of those things? I'll close with this. She dared to touch him. And we must understand again that anything she touched became unclean. However, she knew if there was one person she could touch, it was Jesus. Her uncleanliness will not make him unclean. In fact, his purity will purify her. His cleanliness will make her clean. His holiness will make her holy. Today, it does not matter how your life looks. It does not matter what issue you have. It's impossible for you to change him by touching him. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. You see, when he died on the cross, he brought us perfect atonement. So his forgiveness will bring us forgiveness because he called out, Father, forgive them. His cleanliness will make you clean. His stripes will bring you healing. His presence will bring you fullness of joy. And there is comfort and companionship. You do not have to be alone anymore. His peace and wisdom will bring you prosperity for every facet of your life. I'm just looking for somebody who will dare to touch him. He has already done everything for us at Calvary. No amount of money, no amount of programs. There is nothing that we can do that he cannot give us. And he gave it to us freely. I'm looking for somebody who will just dare to touch him. If you would, stand with me. Is that you here this morning? Are you willing to dare to touch him? Are you willing to ignore all the commotion in the background? Are you willing to ignore what everybody's saying? Are you willing to get rid of those things that you're holding on to here this morning? All those things that you say that it's your right to have. So you can get your miracle. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your people here this morning. And I thank you for your word, Lord, that's come forth here this morning, Lord. And I'm just asking that it would touch and minister to each and every one of our hearts and our minds here this morning. Lord, as we leave this place, Father, I'm just asking that you would change us. Lord, I believe that you have great things in store for your people here. Father, I dare to touch you. Lord, I dare to ignore all the people in the background. All the people, Lord, that might be kicking and punching and stomping and interrupting my way to you, Lord. Father, I want to press through the crowd to touch you. Lord, if there's anything in my heart, Father, that is holding me back from my miracle, Lord, I'm just asking that you would show it to me now, Father, because I want to give it to you. Lord, I do not want to hold any unforgiveness in my heart. Lord, I do not want to hold any ought towards somebody. Father, I want to give you everything. Lord, every step I take, every breath I take, Lord, every move I make, Father, I want it to be ordained in by you, Father. Lord, here this morning, I'm just asking, Father, that you would move and minister to the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're going to do with for your people. In Jesus' name we pray.